Good morning, everyone. Thank you for being here. I'd like to thank the organizers for allowing me to tell you about our study today. My name is Charlotte Gatos, and I am at the Division of Infectious Diseases at Johns Hopkins University in Baltimore, Maryland. Today, we're going to talk about the risk factors that are associated with Trichomonas vaginalis infections. I have the following disclosures. By way of background, Trichomonas infections are not reportable in the United States, and so the prevalence is not well characterized. Most of the studies that have been done in the past have been characterized by insensitive methods and using banked retrospective samples. Also, by way of background, we know that Trich is more prevalent than any other bacterial or protozoan STD in the U.S. Global estimates are over a million cases, 173 million cases. About 7 to 8 million cases are thought to occur every year in the United States. It's been recently associated in many research studies with HIV. In women, we know it's associated with preterm birth and low birth weight, pelvic inflammatory disease. Many women are asymptomatic, but they could have like a frothy discharge shown here in this picture. Also, sometimes you see a strawberry hemorrhage in women associated with Trich. Men are mostly asymptomatic. There have been studies that have associated Trich with decreased sperm motility and viability. So let's talk for just a minute about diagnostics. We all are familiar with the wet prep. It's not very sensitive. It's hard to do. There have been a number of rapid tests that have come on the market with what we thought at the time fairly good sensitivity, but these were compared to culture. And we now know that culture is only about 70% sensitive when you compare it with amplified testing. PCR and TMA have been shown in research studies to be highly sensitive and specific. We aren't ready quite yet to turn to scanning electron microscopy to diagnose Trich, but I thought this was a pretty picture of the little Trichomonas globbed onto an epithelial cell here. One study that has put things into perspective as far as culture and wet prep is by Jill Hubbard, published in CID. And you can see here that the sensitivity of wet mouth is about 50%. Culture is a little better. A rapid test called the Awesome's a little better. And the Aptima was, and this was a NAT test, in the high 90s. Before we get to the prevalence study, I wanted to just mention that the clinical trial that brought the Aptima Trich test to FDA clearance was done about a year ago, and the clearance was given in April for this test. This was published, and you can see that it was compared to culture and to wet prep as per the FDA guidelines. And using those gold standards, it was highly sensitive, and it didn't matter what the sample was. This article's published by Dr. Schwebke in JClin Micro last year. So today, we want to talk about the prevalence and the risk factors for Trich in the U.S. in a large study that was conducted in women who were presenting for chlamydia and gonorrhea testing. And I'm going to show the prevalence stratified by age, race, and region, and then present the multivariate analysis of the risk factors that were independently associated with Trichomonas. So this was a large study, about 7,500 women from all across the United States, broad age range from 18 to 89, and various kinds of clinical settings. The overall prevalence was 8.7 for Trichomonas, compared to lower prevalences for chlamydia and gonorrhea. So the prevalence varied drastically by age, race, ethnicity, the clinic or the site of the study, and also geographically. So this is kind of the take-home message for the results. You can see shown in green are the prevalences shown on the x-axis, and on the y-axis are the different age groups. So you can see we started out pretty high in the 18 to 19-year-old age group, and then stayed high, and then lo and behold, the prevalence went up in the older age women. Chlamydia, as expected, started with a very high prevalence in the younger age group and then just practically dropped off to nothing. And gonorrhea just kind of sits around there at about 1 to 2%. So drilling down in a little bit more detail for comparison here, now that you have the general picture, Here's the overall prevalence. And here's that age group, 40 to 49, 11%. 50, older than 50, was 13%. Now, why these women were coming in for screening, we don't know. They were symptomatic or they were asymptomatic, and we did not have the ability to record that. So that's an interesting unknown. But you can see that after the age of about 40, the prevalence did go up. By comparison, the prevalence in the 18 to 19-year-olds for chlamydia was very high, as we mentioned, 14%, even high in the 20 to 29-year-old age group. So what did we find? Basically, by stratified by race ethnicity, blacks had a very high prevalence. Whites were about 5.7, Hispanics 5.0, and Asians a little lower. By region, it was very interesting. The Southeast, which is known to most all of us as having the highest prevalence of most STDs and HIV, was the highest. But the prevalences in the Southwest and the Midwest were high too. So here you can see drilled down by geographical, or drilled down by race, black Americans had 20% prevalence. And same prevalence in blacks for chlamydia was about 12 and about 4 for gonorrhea. Compare the prevalence in blacks to the Hawaiians and Alaska Natives. These were very low numbers. You can see there are only 14 here, so not too much to make of this. But in the whites, the prevalence was 5.7, and in those who were other or unknown, it was also about the same. Moving. Stuck. Oh, there we go. Okay, so this is the prevalence broken down by collection site. So you can see there were a wide variety of sites that were elicited for screening: the emergency department, family planning, inpatient, internal medicine clinics, jails, OBGYN, and the STD clinic. So jails had actually the highest prevalence, and also screening that was done in the emergency department was quite high. Here's the breakdown by the different regions. I think this was the slide that was supposed to come next that was skipped. But anyway, you can see relative to chlamydia and gonorrhea that trichomonas was highest in the Southeast. It was also pretty high in the Southeast for chlamydia and for gonorrhea. So let's turn now to the multivariate analysis. All of these independent, separate risk factors were put into a multivariate analysis so that you could look at each individual risk factor independently. And lo and behold, age of 40 and above was independently statistically associated with being positive for trich, as was the black race, odds ratio of 4. So both of these were statistically significant. In addition, being seen in the emergency department was also associated with trich, odds ratio of 3.5. Being screened in a jail or in an STD clinic, also associated with trich, and also the other category. Looking at the Northeast as the referent region of the country set at 1 in the analysis, you can see that not only the Southeast, the Southwest, and the Midwest, they were all associated. So living in the Northeast was protective, but living anywhere else in the country was not, and a very high odds ratio of 6 associated with living in the Southeast. So in conclusion, in this female population of over 7,500 women, trichomonas was highly prevalent. It was extremely high in the black race and older women, and also independently associated with being positive for trichomonas. So I'd like to acknowledge all the people who work in my laboratory at Johns Hopkins, and then acknowledge the hard work of all of the other authors and collaborators on this study. And I guess we're going to hold questions until the end.